We have youth choir practice next Sunday at 5 o'clock right in this room. So turn it down just a little bit. I'm getting a little ring. Because we were right across the street from the fire department and we could do certain things with our architect, we didn't have to have a sprinkler system installed, which saved us close to $100,000 when we built our building. But one of those things was that we have to have fire-rated doors everywhere. Fire-rated as in when they're closed, they can withstand a certain amount of heat that will allow the fire department to contain a fire easier. Great. The only problem with that is when we're having services and someone goes out them, they're heavy and they slam. So, I just want to remind you, if you do need to use the restroom and you do need to leave the premises, please be gentle with the door. This door does not even have a hinge on it, so we can open it up all the way. This one does, and you say, oh, it'll just close behind me. Very heavily. It's like a vault door slamming, all right? So I'm just letting you know. So again, a lot of you are aware of that, but if you are not aware of that, the doors are heavy and they will slam if left to themselves. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. So glad everyone's here tonight. Did Buffalo play today? How'd they go? They didn't play? Well, surely they must have scored some sort of points. They didn't score any points? Oh, 0 points. I was going to say it could be worse, but it can't even get any worse. Okay, very good. All right, hopefully you've found Ephesians chapter 4 by now. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, we sure do love you. We are thankful that your divine love that you have poured out upon us. Lord, I pray that you bless service tonight and again, meet with us here. Lord, it's a thing I pray often, but Lord, you seem so faithful in doing it. Lord, I pray that, again, the lesson tonight would be a help, an encouragement, and also a reproach where necessary. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Those are, let me help you with that. One true Lord, one true faith, one true baptism, right? I mean, there's a lot of gods out there, but only one true God. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So as we look at verse 5, it says that there's one baptism. Now that's kind of an interesting thought. In a week from tonight, we're going to have a baptism service. And we'll set up the baptismal out here. And after service, after a preaching service, we'll go out there and we'll have baptism. So tonight we're going to look at why. What is the purpose of that? What is the reason and what happens there? Say, oh, I've been baptized. I can kind of tune this one out. Ever go to a wedding? Hopefully at least maybe most of you won. Then you go to a wedding maybe 10 or 15 years later. And there you're looking at this young couple. And what do? You remember, right? I remember, man, I was probably 30 pounds lighter. And look at how young they are. Man, to go back and start again, they don't have two nickels to rub together. But look at just how they look at each other, right? And what is it? It kind of reminds you of something. Reminds you of maybe vows that you took. You know what? And we're going to be talking about baptism. And you're going to maybe remember when you were baptized. Remember what it meant to you, because we're going to look at the definition of baptism, and at that point you made a commitment to Christ. Not just to get wet, but baptism is more than that. And we're going to look at the purpose and what it means tonight. And if you've been baptized, may I encourage you to remember what it is that you made that decision about that day. Maybe you were young, maybe you were 10 or 12, maybe you were 30 or 40. Wherever you were in your life, that day was an important day. And we're going to treat it as an important day here. We're going to make a big deal about it. Because it is a big deal. It's the fulfillment of what God has told us to do. So as we go through and we study this, and it tells us that there's one baptism. Well, I know studying in the scriptures, there's more than one baptism. Baptism of fire, there's baptism of water, baptism of the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? Well, they're all a picture of the one true baptism. Baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what happens when you get saved. You get immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. So why are we baptized? Why do we fire up the pool and we have Garrett running water all day? And why do we do that? What's the purpose of that? What does that? Is that? I was talking to someone today, just today. And they asked me, as honest and as truthful as you could ask a question, do I need to be baptized to be saved? Well, we're going to see what the scripture says. We're going to answer those questions. What is the purpose? Why do we do that? Why do we do it? What's the purpose? What are the requirements? And then maybe a little connection to us. All right. Acts chapter 8 tonight. Real quick, apart from the message, other people's business is none of my business. None of your business. But when it shows up on the news, it becomes kind of everyone's business, right? A family used to come here, the Claver family, they're going through a tough time. And if you could just pray for the Clavers, I can guarantee that they would appreciate it, all right? And say, what's going on? Well, they had a run-in with the sheriffs. And honestly, from what I read from the report, someone should have been dead. And I'm glad they're not. But if you could just pray for that family. Say, are you saying that as a point of gossip? I'm not saying it as a point of gossip at all. I'm saying truthfully, honestly, that family could use some prayer. And a lot of us know them. And they're in a tough way right now. And you know, we look at that, we talked about that this morning of hopeless situations. And you look at certain situations and go, that's just a mess. Nothing good can come from that. Well, certainly the circumstance is not good, but somehow God could get glory. And let's just pray for them. They could certainly use our prayers. Back to our message tonight. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Who's he preaching to? Just anybody that would listen? No. Very important. Ethiopian eunuch. This man is sitting there and the Lord sends Philip to this man because he's studying the scriptures and he has no idea what he's reading. So Philip preaches to him in verse 35. In verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Great question. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both of them, or both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. We're familiar with the story. This is the conversion of the jailer, what we would call the Philippian jailer. Remember the earth did quake and everyone's there. He's about to kill himself. Remember that? And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized. He and all his straightway. Why be baptized? Well, it is your first step of obedience after being saved. These two instances, what do we see? We see someone trust Christ, and then what follows next? Baptism. Now, how many of you, there was more than a week separating when you got saved to when you got baptized? Anybody? Sure. Most of you. Maybe it was because, remember Jay, we used to have it at the lake. It was once a year. We baptized like 40, but it was once a year. And it was cold and cold. But what do we have here? Hey, I want to get baptized. You can't get baptized. You first need to be saved. And then after that, there's an immediate response. It's not obedience to man. It's obedience to God. It is our first step of growing. And we'll talk about the purpose here. Look at Romans chapter 6. What is the purpose of being baptized? It is a public profession of your faith. See, I could sit in this chair over here, just like this, and all by myself, I can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I can confess my sins without saying a word out loud. I can confess my life and all my sins to Him and ask Him to save me from them and totally dedicate my life, never moving, never saying a word. But where's the proof? Well, obviously in our, hopefully we're a new creature. New creature in Christ. But God says this. Here's what I'd like you to do next. If you've made that decision, if you believe those things, maybe you knelt at an altar similar to this, or maybe you're in a Sunday school class, or maybe you're sitting at your kitchen table, or by your bedside, or maybe sitting on the couch, or wherever it was, maybe at your front door. But the Lord says, I don't want you to be ashamed of that. I want you to show everybody. Well, how on earth can I show everybody? Baptism. It is a public display of something that happened inside your heart. It's kind of a strange thing if you think about it. You want me to take a bath in front of everybody? I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Like, you're just going in, coming out. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, Sophie? Like, where did that originate? Where do we see that from? The followers of John the Baptist were said, by their commitment to his cause, one of the things that he would ask them to do was to be baptized. It's just showing simply this. Now think about it like this. I'm all in. It's a commitment to Christ. Now, yes, you are saved. Do you need baptism to be saved? Absolutely not. But it is a public profession of what happened on the inside. I want to show the whole world. Hey, I'm not saying I would doubt someone's salvation that doesn't want to be saved or doesn't want to be baptized, but it would be strange. Oh yeah, I'll kneel quietly all by myself. I've gotten saved, but I don't want anyone to know. I don't see that in Scripture. The Bible tells me that I'm not ashamed of that. That what defines me now. And as we look at Romans chapter 1, or Romans chapter 6, in the first seven or so verses, we'll see when we're reading, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is exactly what happened to me. He died, I died. He was buried, I was buried. He rose again, I rose again. I'm a new man. I want everyone to see that. You couldn't see that. You know what? Saved Nick and lost Nick looks the exact same thing. I went into my bedroom at 10 years of age in the summer of 1988, knelt by my bed, well, by the window, because I thought the angelic host was going to shine down through, and I knelt by there, and I asked Jesus to save me, and the person that went in, although was different on the inside, was wearing the same outfit, same haircut, same complexion, looked the same. But I wanted everyone to know. So that summer, we went to Mendon Ponds Park, and we had a church baptism, and got baptized over at Mendon Ponds Park, identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ publicly, of a decision I made personally in my heart. I want the world to know that I am a Christian. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Can I ask that question to you? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. We ought not to continue in sin because the grace of God abounds to us. He says this, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? There it is, my identification with him, death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, buried. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. There it is, resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, same thing happened to me. I died. I was buried, came back, new man. It tells us exactly what happens when we get saved right here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Physically speaking, baptism, know what it does? Get you wet. Spiritually speaking, you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's more than that. It's like that song that we just sang. It is a public profession of, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Does that mean I live a perfect life? No. But it does mean that I want to be identified with Christ. There's no physical thing I could do more than be identified with Christ, than baptism. It says it exactly. Just like he died, you died. Just like he was buried, you were buried. Just like he rose, so will you, by the glory of the Father. And then, read the end of verse, look at the end of verse 5 again, or 4. At the end of verse 4, therefore, we should what? Walk in newness of life. The life that I now live, I walk, is going to be significantly different. Why? Something magical happens? No. I've decided that I'm going to live my life as best as I can as a Christian. Because that old man died that day. And I want the whole world to see it, and I want the whole world to know that I am no longer going to live the sinful lifestyle. No, I'm going to set myself apart from that, and I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. See, all that happens when you get baptized. That's what baptism is saying. That's why it's a significant thing. That's why, in being obedient to the Lord, you know, the Lord doesn't just want your soul, he wants your life. He wants your life. Yes, when we ask the Lord to save us, what do we have? We have secured eternity. But you know what else he wants? He wants today. He wants it all. He wants your will. He wants your wallet. He wants your works. He wants everything. Ran out of W words. Wants it all. It's the testimony of our identification with Christ. That's why we do it. Oh, we do it because we're Walker Bible Baptist Church. We got to. No, we don't have to. It's scriptural. That's why we do it. We fulfill Romans chapter 6. We fulfill Romans or Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 16. We've already said this, but look at Romans chapter 10. The only requirement is that you're saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what I don't see there? Baptism of water. It's not there, Brother Garrett. It's not required for salvation. It is required or commanded of God, though, after salvation, certainly. But the only prerequisite to being baptized is saved. That's why we don't baptize infants. That's why we don't treat baptism as child dedication. Because it's a public profession of an inward faith. And no infant that doesn't know their toes from their fingers can make a decision for Christ. Therefore, we don't baptize infants. We baptize people that can give us a public testimony of their salvation. That's who we baptize. Whether 9 or 90. But they got to be able to tell. They got to be able to say, here's the circumstance, this is what happened, this is when I trusted Christ, this is when I got saved. But baptism is not the salvation. It is after. Matthew chapter 3. See, why do we use the hot tub thing? Well, because this is built on a concrete slab and it'd be really, really expensive to install a baptismal. And there's a giant furnace and air conditioner out here. So if we were to kick this out, that would not go good. We'd have to do a lot of moving. Matthew chapter 3. In verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill the righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up how? Straightway out of the water. That means he was totally immersed in the water. He wasn't sprinkled. He didn't have holy water dropped on his head. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Christ, our example. Christ, in obedience to his Father, was baptized. As an example to us, coming straightway out of the water. After this, you know what happens? His public ministry. Jesus Christ, if he, the man side of Jesus Christ now, rendering his will and his body completely over to the work of God. Total immersion. That's why we do it like that. That's why we have the pool or the baptismal. That's why we don't sprinkle. Why? Because it's significant. Because the whole thing is buried. Our whole body is under the water. Our whole body comes out. New person. Completely. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 19. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not only do we do it because we're obeying and making public profession of what the Lord has told us and saved us, but because he commanded us to. We are to go throughout all the nations teaching others about Jesus Christ, and when they make a public profession, you know what they do? They get baptized. It's a mark of a follower of Christ. I've seen some crazy baptisms. Baptisms in water that you wouldn't want to be in. in Africa. There's snakes and things that eat you. Brother Bonner told crazy stories. He used to have people in boats all around with giant sticks waiting. So just in case an alligator or something comes, they hit it back so they could get the baptisms done so they didn't get eaten. We get upset when it's below 95 in our baptismal. They do the same thing all over the world. Christians are identified with baptism. Whether you're in China, they have these underground baptisms. Because if they are seen out doing it, they'll be killed. They show their friends, their neighbors. Some people don't hide it. Read a book about a Chinese Christian. And he was scared because he thought when he was going to be baptized, that was the end of his life. And he said this. He said, "If my life is worth saving to God, He can keep me alive." And he did it publicly. That's guts. Here, we just get worried, oh, how's my hair going to look when I come out? Not, did the official see me and are they going to take me away? Am I going to go to prison for a minimum 3 years work labor camp? If you talk to Chinese Christians, you're really nobody unless you spend some time in prison. Because your Christianity isn't real enough. And that stuff happens all over the world. A disciple is known. If you went somewhere else, if you went to China and said, "Hey, I'm a Christian," and they say, "When were you baptized?" "Oh, I just didn't want to get baptized." You would knock them over with a feather. How could you be a follower of Christ without being baptized? Maybe some are in here. I don't know. I don't know everyone's testimony or what. But we're commanded to travel all over the world, taking the gospel to those that have never heard. And not only are we leading them to the Lord, but we're baptizing them. It's commanded. So do you remember when you got saved and baptized? I have pictures of my mom standing there with a friend of hers, Chris Hart, and they're standing there. And my mom's a friend. She got her arm around my mom, and my mom's standing there with a towel. And man, I remember that day. No one took my picture, but I remember the day. Yeah, a picture of baptizing Matt and up my office. You know what that does? That encourages me. That reminds me of what this is really all about. So when I'm on the phone with the thing and somewhat disheartened, I turn around and I see the picture of Matt getting baptized. Do you remember when you got baptized? Do you remember when you said, "I do," and all that? And oh yeah. Do you remember when you said, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back"? You remember when you fully committed and said, "I don't care who knows, I don't care, I love the Lord and I want the whole world to know"? And now we carry Him like this. Remember when you weren't ashamed? Next week, when we have those that are getting baptized, not only do we rejoice with those and we make a big deal of it, because it is a big deal, but we remember in our lives, I remember when I decided that. And may that be an encouragement to each of us to have that thought towards the next day. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Once again, baptism is not salvation, but it is evidence that I am saved. If you'd like to be baptized next week, please let me know. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about just, you know, what to wear and that kind of thing. And hear about when you got saved. There's no checking accounts or church membership. Or the only prerequisite to being baptized is that you must be saved. But it's a great thing. It's a big deal. Can I encourage you to be here tomorrow or next Sunday night to encourage those that have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Let's all stand.